Good morning and welcome to Race Industry Now, the weekly webinar series from ePower Trade, presented to you by ARP, Performance Plus Global Logistics, PEAK, Ferrea Racing Components, and Fifth Third Bank Motorsports. I am Francis Savinien, the founder and CEO of ePower Trade, the racing industry, every minute, every day. This is episode 447. And we're going to be talking suspension with L-Week suspension products. With me this morning are Judy Kinn, the co-founder of ePower Trade, and a wonderful host, three-time NASCAR crew chief champion, Mr. Jeff Hammond. Judy?
Thank you, Francis, and thank you everybody for joining us today. We are doing our first technical webinar on sway bars, so I'm excited to have Hellwig on, such a name brand, but I'm more excited for one of our presenters, Melanie White. She is the 2024 recipient of the Women Make Award, which is presented by the Manufacturing Institute. That's impressive to me. Jeff?
It's very impressive. And again, you mentioned the fact that, Hellwig is a very well-known product, and we can't say enough about it, including the fact that I'm versed into it a little bit because I've used it on my son. He's got a farm truck that needed a little bit more help, and guess who we went to get their product to be able to handle the heavy load. So good morning, everyone. How are you doing, Melanie and Mr. Hellwig? How are you guys doing today?
Great.
We're great.
Doing well.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us this morning. We're excited to be here.
Well, I understand that you folks have put together a video that to help us better understand what Hellwig is all about. And if you don't mind, we're going to roll that piece of video, then we'll get into some questions and answers, and we'll have some fun here in the next hour.
What does Made in America really mean? At Hellwig Products, it means a company family-owned and operated for four generations. Rudy Hellwig patented his helper springs in 1941 and Hellwig Products in 1946. He made springs by hand in a blacksmith's shop. On weekends, Rudy sold springs door to door, and his son Don helped install them. Helper springs increased the level load rating of vehicles for better control and stability. And sway bars improve safety by reducing vehicle body roll. Hellwig's philosophy has always been to take care of the customer, to build a quality product, and to adapt to the market and innovate. For four generations, Hellwig has carried on a family tradition. Work hard. Take pride in our work. Take care of our employees. Hellwig Products uses American steel, manufactures its products in America, provides jobs for American workers. Made in America is more than a slogan. It's a philosophy, a way of doing business, a work ethic, a family tradition of innovation. Proudly made in America since 1946.
Well, that gives us a pretty good view, I think, of the, or I guess you might say, the very beginning of Hellwig was all about. So I find it very fascinating that we're back to the transition almost between horse and buggy and automobile, and the fact that, your father, grandfather, was like a blacksmith. And I, again, my son-in-law is a blacksmith, so I really get a big kick out of being around blacksmiths and what they can do and what their mindset is about what you can do with steel. And Melanie, I don't know what led you down each path you folks have taken, but each one has been successful and has always improved our community as far as, the trucks and other types of industries benefit from y'all's products.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. So that's something that we take a lot of pride in, that our products create solve a problem, right? That's out there. So back in 1946, when my great grandfather and grandfather started the company, They actually did this as like their part-time job. So they would manufacture at night, and then they would go sell on the weekends door to door, and to small shops. So they actually, it's really obvious if you need Hellwig. You mentioned it earlier, right? So if a vehicle is sagging, has a sagging rear end, my great grandfather would go knock on your door and say, "Hey, I can solve that problem." And my grandpa, who was a senior in high school, would lay on his back and install the product all for $7. So our distribution model, our pricing, all of that is very different than what it was in 1946, but not our quality standards, not like our processes, right? And what we're here to talk about today, which is, we're talking about heat treating and what that's a big differentiator for Hellwig is the heat treating process. So that we want to talk about that, but we have started with helper springs in 1946, and then in the 60s we added sway bars. And our products go from, we take care of the aftermarket, but we also are a solution in the OE world, as well as we do some private label too. So you might be buying another brand, but Hellwig got to make it. So which is really fun in what we do. We love our customers. We love solving problems. We love just creating solutions out there. So from the video you saw, we're made in USA, and then we're also fourth generation. So I'm fourth generation, and I luckily still have my dad here, Mark Hellwig, and then our engineer Neil here with us as well. So feel pretty lucky that I get to participate in this family business.
Well, before we move on to your father, I want to say once again, congratulations on your award. And that right there is quite an accomplishment. But I think right now we're understanding maybe why you're so successful because of the lineage in your company and the way you folks do your business. And Mr. Helwick, I guess you're very proud of your daughter. And again, your products speak for themselves. And it's a pleasure to have you on today. And I just, again, I am intrigued about how you go about doing what you folks do. I know the general principles of it. I know that I've seen the end result. But I guess the easiest thing is why. I mean, you get into something that it's almost like it's a niche brand deal, but four generations of doing this and being, I mean, you're the best in the business. Let's just look at it like that. You're the best in the business.
Well, we've been fortunate, and I am proud. Yes, I am a very proud dad. But we've been fortunate through the generations to be kind of creators of unique products that and offer them to the market. It's an opportunity that we've found little niches and the ability to create those products within our own under our own roof, so to speak. And we've been able to do that with creativity in the product designs, also in the machinery that we have designed and created. It's quite unique to what we do. You don't go out to the local hardware store and find the parts that you can put together to make the parts that we make. So we have the opportunity to design our own equipment, our own product production processes, and a lot of the components that go into our systems.
And when you say something like that, I think the thing that's interesting is, Neil, someone that's in your position, I'm sure that you find it's like an ongoing process because somebody's always trying to one-up you. There's other companies out there that realize that, hey, that you guys have cornered a market here and we want some of that market. So how do you defend against that, and what's the next thing around the corner as far as Hellwig's concerned?
For sure. I mean, that's very difficult. You have a lot of competition in the market, but I do think the main topic, about heat treating is where we shine. A lot of our competition do things in a cold forming way, and that's perfect. We do that as well, but we can add that extra little process to our products and make us really be, you know, we talk about niches, but we want to be really focusing on improving that niche's problem. And if their problem is load leveling, whether it's ride quality, sway reduction, we can do that fairly easily. And over years of experience, it makes my job easier to have, you know, the machinery available to do that, but then have a good basis on competition and figuring out what OEs are doing and helping them solve their problems as well.
So Melanie, you know, where did you get started as far as, you know, the heat treating process? Because again, you know, blacksmithing is one thing, but when you get into heat treating, that's a totally different world.
Yeah, so we started from the beginning. So we've always heat treated our products. And I don't go back that far. So I actually have someone that has a lot more history than I do. So I'm going to let Mark take that one.
Well, Jeff, the products and the materials we use are of an alloy steel nature. So the steel in and of itself allows it us to create certain properties in the steel through a heat treat process. So the heat treat process is a step-by-step process of heating the material, cooling it at a certain rate, then tempering it back to a certain temperature for a pre-prescribed amount of time, and then doing some inspection, finishing, and then packaging. So the heat treat process allows us to create a product. It makes a spring, if you will. It mm-hmm. allows the product, in fact, this spring right in front of us, it allows this spring to deflect and come back to its original shape and retain what we call memory. So it has the ability to deflect at a certain rate, a progressed rate, and then come back to its original shape and do that repetitively through literally millions of cycles. The same concept is in the sway bar world. It's essentially a spring in and of itself also. So it's a heat treated piece. When you deflect it, one arm deflects down, the other is maintained at a certain position. It retains its memory and comes back to its original shape, therefore improving handling and sway control. And that's all done. Those characteristics are enhanced through the heat treat process with the alloy steels we use.
You know, you say all that and it makes it seem so simple, but enlighten us a little bit about the process of that learning curve. Because again, you know, you just didn't get up one morning and say, okay, we're going to heat treat this and we're going to do this, and it's going to be perfect. I mean, it's got to be a process there, even today. How do you go through knowing how it's right or it's wrong? You know what I'm saying? And advancing that each and every day, because I'm sure the construction world primarily, they got to rely on what you folks come up with today so they can have it tomorrow, type scenario.
Well, metallurgy is really a science, and it's mm-hmm. it's a very broad science that goes into, like you said, the construction industry. Structural steels are different than the alloy steels that we use. They're different from the stainless steels than any of the other high alloys and specific specialty steels. As far as the uniqueness of what we do, the material is, and we have a lot of help. Believe me, we didn't reinvent the wheel here. We rely a lot on what has come before us, especially from the steel mills who are highly technical metallurgists. So once we decide the characteristic of the material and the product that we want to use, then we actually identify a specific alloy through the SAE, Society of Automotive Engineers, prescribe different alloy steels. Our particular alloy in the flat products, what we call the flat products, the leaf springs, is 5160. And that particular material is designed to go through a heating process. In our case, we heat the part, form it into a shape. You can see some uniqueness to this particular shape. We form that shape, then it goes into a petroleum-based oil. So that oil has a chemistry to it that creates a certain amount of dissipation of heat. It draws the heat out of that steel at a very specific rate. Not to get too deep in the weeds, but steel has a grain, just like you would see grain in a piece of wood. So that grain structure, through the heat treat process, we refine through step by each step of our process. So the initial quenching, we call it, of the hot part into the oil creates a very tight grain structure. Once that part is cooled, we like to get it cooled below 200 degrees, then we introduce it into a tempering process. And that tempering process allows that grain structure to kind of relax, but not so far that if the part is deflected, that it will bend, but retain that memory that I spoke of earlier. So the process is highly technical, but I try to put it in simplest terms of the way people can relate to the grain structure in a piece of wood is very similar in visualization to the grain structure in a piece of steel that's heat treated.
Well, for me, I can see everything that you're telling me and appreciate it because there again, watching that stuff on TV about, making things, being that blacksmith type of individual that can take and make a sword and have it have grain, and you see the grain right there on television, which makes that visual of what you are describing come to my head. And but yet, it's just still amazing that that you got the right steel. Heated up at the right temperature and then quench in the right steps to achieve what you've got in front of you. And I think anybody that's ever, owned anything as far as a vehicle or a wagon or something, and you see this especially in dump trucks and what I'm saying, I use that dump trucks as an illustration because they get so many tons put on them in one direction, and all of a sudden when they get to the load dump. Has memory and it rebounds back to its original shape and where it needs to be. And that's something that it fascinates me how you do that. And I'm sure that people are coming to you today and they're wanting, stuff done and they want it smaller. They want it to have the same, rebound and memory that, something that's maybe 2.5, 3 inches wide. We want it done an inch and a half. You know, saying there's so much stuff it's not that we just take for granted. That's the thing is, and you folks, y'all deal with it on a daily basis, and it blows my mind. It really does.
Well, it's kind of fun and it's challenging, and Neil gets to deal with that firsthand on the customer request basis. But we do get to visit certain challenges that customers bring to us in terms of shapes and sizes and demands of the product that the end user will put on our product. So it is a challenge, but it's fun. We know the parameters of what we're capable of, and
Right.
we try to, if a customer comes to us with something maybe slightly out of our parameters, we try to work them back in based on our knowledge and how we know our product will help them. And usually we can come back to a product that works for them and fits our processes. It works pretty well.
So Neil, let's talk about the customers that you folks have. I mean, what is your core customer? Who are they? I mean, what folks are coming to you on a daily basis and needing something?
For sure. Well, on a private label side, we'll have many of like the popular brands that you see for a consumer product, whether that's a road vehicle or maybe a specialized vehicle. So we're very lucky to either offer our products for them or work with their own designs and figure out how we can fit within their manufacturing process. We have our own products as well under the Hellwig brand. the leaf sway bars and accessories. That allows us to be a bit more fluid in our own designs, designed for a specific reason, for a specific customer, or even a specific trade. And then we have OEMs as well that, you know, they have their design pretty well laid out, and they just need someone to handle the main process. So we work with them, kind of like we mentioned before. We know where our capabilities are. We work with them to nail down, you know, how we can best meet in the middle, and then produce that product in a way that they can not really worry about it anymore. It's something that they can put onto their vehicle without any regard for whether it's correct or not, because we know it's correct.
And so Jeff, I'll pop in here if you don't mind. So I was just talking about projects that we have right now. So we have like a three-wheel project that we're working on, making a sway bar for as big as a motorhome chassis. So, you know, our products go in a lot of different vehicles. And so Neil is, you know, gets to be challenged often with like, okay, I'm going to switch gears from this very small vehicle that needs this smaller sway bar to this massive chassis that needs, you know, so big of a an end on the bar that we have to machine it versus our normal process, which is coining it. So, you know, there's just, he's not bored, I will say.
No, yeah, I'm very lucky to, I have a mix of tools within my belt here that we get to play with, whether that's heat treatment and hot forming bars and cold forming bars and heat treating them after the fact. But yeah, my day could go from working on a military application vehicle to consumer, you know, sports car to normal trucks, and it kind of just keeps the flow. So yeah, never bored, but it's definitely a different process for each customer.
You know, I know this is a touchy subject, so I'm gonna put this kind of like for a jump ball for the response. You know, how much work do you do with our military? Because I know that, you know, stuff that they're, you know, that they need and want, and that's always ever changing. And so have y'all done much work with our military?
Yeah.
We have, matter of fact. Over the years, we've never been a tier one supplier to the military, but generally tier two through OEM people who supply to the military. We've done work for the company who built the MRAP vehicles that were over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And all the way through, we did some work on a Humvee retrofit program. The military went through a recapitalization program for Humvees. We went through that process. So we've had a mix of different opportunities with the military. We've done quite a bit of prototype work. Some comes to fruition, some does not, but we were engaged with the military often. Melanie's attended a few of the military shows that that the military buyers attend, and so we've exposed ourselves to that industry also.
And I think that's one of the reasons. No, I was going to say, I'm like you.
One of the favorite projects that we did.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, we keep bumping into each other.
No, it's okay. We got just that little second delay.
Yeah, but we did, we had one of our projects was Border Patrol. And if you can imagine the amount of stress those vehicles are put under, we would have be able to see like chassis, like they're completely pulled apart, right, from the body of the vehicle was pulled apart from the chassis, but our bar was like completely intact. So it's fun. I think those are really like the fun things when we get to see what our customers are doing with our product and how it's serving them. And so from Border Patrol to like, you know, a consumer who's taking their trailer and having a better towing experience. But the Border Patrol was just very dramatic.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, and while we're on this, you know, this subject of who you've done work for, like the military and the different companies, what is maybe one of the most oddest companies that you've done work for that people maybe never would have dreamed of? I mean, you know.
Well, there's been a few. We did a lot of work for the golf cart industry, believe it or not. When they thought they were going to start a retrofit program for returned golf carts, and they started lifting golf carts, and they felt like they needed a sway control for a golf cart. Melanie mentioned a three-wheeled motorcycle. We've done some work for the three-wheeled motorcycle industry. I don't know, Neil.
I came from a more consumer-based industry, so moving into like RV chassis has always been new to me, seeing the level of technology in some of their suspension has been fascinating. But going and looking at that sway bars and then trying to work within the requirements that they have has been definitely a learning experience.
Now, folks, you know, we're getting about halfway through or a little over halfway through this webinar. I haven't had anybody ask any questions. I know we got some folks on here that have wished you well, Michael Cole, Lou Spinelli up in Delaware. We got Keith Weinkauf at here in Waxhaw, North Carolina. Again, you know, Michael, he's from Houston, but you know, they're all, you know, excited about being you guys being on the ePortraits webinar. So if you got questions, don't be afraid to ask them, because that's what we're here for, because that gives you an opportunity to interact with the with these folks and pick their brain a little bit and be a part of it. So I just want to make sure I want to remind all them out there that we can do that. So Michael Cole's wanting to know, what about coil springs? What have you done with coil springs? You know, you do a great job with leafs and sway bars. Do you do much with coil springs?
No, in to be short, we felt like my dad used to always tell me, do what you do best. And the leaf springs and that type of product, the sway bars are what we've kept our focus on. There's an opportunity for coils, but our processes, our plant, everything that we've geared our operations around is the sway bars and the helper springs. We dabbled a little bit with some aftermarket coils just to see if there was a maybe an opportunity to match up some of our sway bars with coil springs, but that didn't really seem to want to pan out. So we brought back our focus to sway bars and helper springs in the flat steel products.
Also think
And
the material in general is, and the process is overall the same, but the manufacturing process is very specialized into the coiling industry. It's although they do relatively the same amount of process, it's a difficult industry to just jump right into.
totally understand. So what about torsion bars? I mean, you do such a great job with the sway bar. What about torsion bars?
Yeah, torsion bars, I mean, are very similar to sway bars. They act in the same way. I think it's just the manufacturing process. Again, they're very reliant on usually a custom arm setup. They're very popular in racing, very popular in a lot of those series. But I think it's just a different industry than we're currently in. I know we've talked about wanting to go into it and looking at the tooling and what we need to do that. It's not forgotten for sure, but it's just haven't been I guess plan so far. I might add that there are people out there that do that very well, and it's a hard it'd be a tough market to break into. So we again pulling back to what we do best.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is we never jump into something that we don't know we can, you know, somehow make it better, right? Like make a better product, make a better solution there.
Okay, when with the I got two questions here. One, how many pieces of machinery does it take to make the products that you have? I mean, I know you're touching around it. It's like these pieces of equipment, they're not cheap, and I'm sure there's each one of them are more designed specified. You've got one machine does one thing, blah blah blah. Just how many different machines do you have to be able to get a finished product?
Well, I could speak to that. We buy our products in bar form, so they're long pieces of steel, either flat or round bar, and we either saw cut them or shear them to a specified length. And then we go into a process of if parts need holes punched in them, or maybe in the case of the sway bars, some type of forging on the end where there's an end treatment. So the punching is all done cold, the shearing's done cold, the forging is obviously done hot. And then once we have a part that's basically ready to go into the furnace, so your furnace, first of all, your shears are or saws are one stage of the equipment equation. Then we go into the furnaces, that's another stage. Then we go into the forming machines, which form the leaves or form the sway bars. Then we go into the tank, which contains the quench oil, which has a conveyance system in it, which moves the parts through that oil up into a tempering process. So then we go from the furnace to the tank to the heat treat furnace. We call it a draw furnace, but it's essentially a tempering furnace. Then beyond that, we go into a shot blasting process, which cleans the surface, preps it for our painting process. From there, we go into inspection. Sometimes we have to do some what we call cold setting, slight adjustments to the parts, which we have the opportunity to bring into spec with a cold forming process. Then into powder coating, which we do our own powder coating in-house, and then into packaging. So there's a fair amount of machinery in the plant that we need to move one piece of product through.
Mark's being modest. There's a couple of machines that were custom built by his family alone here that are utilizing the process, and we'll make custom dies for almost every sway bar or every leaf, but some of those dies are run on custom machinery that was built by Mark himself.
So I got a couple questions that brings me up to another question. Are all the sway bars made of the same material? I think I was referencing SAE approved or whatever. But at the same time, once you go through the stamping and the shaping and everything like that, is the quenching and the, is it the most important step in this process? I mean, is that the way you seal the deal? And how do you test it?
I mean, the quenching is definitely a huge process. When we hot form, we get to have that ability for the material to be in a plastic state before melting, but post like elastic state, and that quenching locks that bar into place. But I believe the heat treatment and the tempering process is probably the most important. After quenching, similar to like knife making, it's very strong, very resilient, but it's also fairly brittle in some aspects. So that quenching is imbues some properties in it that we don't want. When we end up tempering it through our grieving process, we're keeping that strength, we're keeping that resilience, but we're also adding ductility into the part and allowing that part to be able to be flexed and go back into this position. We're relieving some of the internal stresses within the bar from the forming process, from the quenching process. So in my eyes, that tempering process is really what brings that bar to be a sway bar, or that leaf to be a leaf spring.
And Michael wants to know, he knows you make sway bars. Do you make the end links? And he also wanted to know, have you ever looked at cryo treatment?
We do make end links for our kits, and sometimes we are requested to make end links for the OE applications and different requirements of our customers. So yes, we do make end links. The cryo treatment, no. Well, I can say that when Neil mentioned that we make our own tool and die equipment for processes that we do in-house, and I have had those dies, which are highly stressed pieces of steel, I have had them cryo treated for durability and abrasion resistance. So, but not in any of our products, only in our tooling.
We still got questions coming in, and Lewis wants to know, how do you avoid supply issues that hamper so many others? I mean, how do you keep up with, I guess, the need?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we all saw that in 2020, right? Like the supply issues, and they definitely affected us. We've adjusted. We're keeping more inventory. I remember, my grandpa would come through here and be gobsmacked about how much steel we would have on the floor, but we needed it at the time, right? Because we needed to take care of our customers. And because of the lead times were so significant. But supply chain has gotten a little bit better for us there. And then the other is like we've been in business since 1946. So we have these very long-standing relationships that have helped us. And I mean, I think we all know this, right? In racing and everything in business, it's when people say, oh, it's just business, it's like, yes, and it's relationships. So I think that's we've had these relationships that we've leaned on. Hey, we need help. Like, how do I make sure that I'm getting steel here every week for my products? And they're willing to work with us and tell us how to make that happen.
Russell wants to know, he said, I may have missed this earlier, and I think you did touch on it, Mr. Helwig, about the fact of OEMs, using products for their vehicles. I mean, y'all have had a relationship with that, and I guess continue to have a relationship, but did I understand that correctly?
Yes, you did. We don't supply directly to what we call the big three, but our OE opportunities are in the business class chassis building. So if you see a lot of delivery vans around, everyone sees the brown UPS trucks running around. Those UPS trucks have our sway bars on them. So those are the opportunities we've been able to develop with our partnerships in the OE world.
Well, Melanie, one of the questions that I had earlier, and I don't want to skip over it, and they were wondering, 1941 through not, getting you really up and going by 1946, this longevity, where do you see your company, where do you see your business as a whole in the next 10 or 20 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's we've spent a lot of time there. We'll be able to continue to serve the aftermarket, and I think that's really big for us. It's where we got started, but I also I think some of that like military and OE work is also a huge benefit. I was in DC last week. And there was an Oshkosh fire truck, and it's one that's normally only at airports. And I knew it had our bars on it, right? So like those are the things that like get me really excited, and those are the opportunities that we have, right? It was Marine One had just landed, and so the fire truck was there to support. Like it's amazing what happens around DC, right? But I think that's what we really love to do is to support like as well as the aftermarket and and going beautiful places, but also, the safety aspect. So knowing that our products go on those vehicles that can help them be safer in those experiences too is where I see some opportunity for us in the future.
Michael Cole would like to ask, have you ever looked at other materials other than metal? And also, do you guys may think it's possible to do 3D print springs and sway bars? So I defer to you on that question.
I mean, the 3D printing industry is extremely fast-paced. I mean, they're doing some things that are amazing. 10 years ago, we would never have thought. And yes, they're printing metals. I know, like Inconel is a huge 3D printing base. I don't know how that would be with 3D printing a sway bar. I think the way it would set up, a bunch of other processes would need to be in place before that bar would be ready. But in the 3D printing industry, I mean, it's already in use for a majority of products, whether that's test fitting or whether that's defining what a piece looks like or narrowing it down before we get to a process of doing it metal. I mean, that's, I think, the best quality about 3D printing is the time. For us, since we build the majority of our components in-house, we have the ability to, make them in metal and play around with those designs very quickly. And I think when we talk about supply chain, that's one of the things that helps us is, we're not reliant on a lot of outside processes or vendors. We can tool around and play with designs as we see fit in under our own roof. And so, yeah, 3D printing's great. I don't see how it could you use for sway bars at the moment, but I'm sure someone will figure out something.
You know,
I might
you
add
brought
to that. Yeah, I was going to add to
no.
that, Jeff. The industry uses some what's called fiberglass reinforced plastics in leaf spring designs and applications. We did look at that real quickly for some of our helper spring designs, but it just didn't seem to fit for some the variations that we see our products going into. We needed more flexibility in our ability to design the goods, and FRPs just didn't seem to work for us very well.
Okay, real quick, I see we're getting up against it here, but do you folks have like a test ground, a proving ground there at your location to try some of the products out?
We don't. Well, we do, but it's like on the open road around here,
There's a couple back roads that I'm sure people around here are like, that's Hellwig. There's a couple turns that I like that would definitely I'm sure I get some
You
points on my
took the body
license
roll
for.
out of it, or you didn't take the body roll out of
Yeah,
it?
exactly.
And they had done so actually the R&D team had done like some test runs, and then I wanted to feel how it felt, and I went and did it, and I think there was a CHP like hanging out over there, so they were expecting us back. So I had to be careful.
Well, folks, it's been a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you and to get an opportunity to get up close and understand the process that everybody in the United States is enjoying, and that's Hellwig products. So, great day today, and thank you for the time. Francis?
Thank you,
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Melanie, Mark, and Neil. Great sessions today. This webinar has been recorded. It will be posted later on the ePortrait platform, distributed through our social media channel and newsletters. We pushed Hellwig suspension product on the homepage of ePortrait. So for more information and updates, please visit www.eportrait.com. Next week, we will be talking hydrogen engines with Arlington Performance, Arlington Engines. Thank you very much once again, and goodbye.
Awesome. Thank you.
Goodbye.
You.
ePartrade is a digital platform that we've created basically to make life easier in the business community of auto racing.
ePartrade, there is no e-commerce. It's literally a connection just like at a trade show. So now, any time of the year, a buyer could reach out to a supplier.
When you see a product that you're interested in, all you need to do is click on the request more information, and then from there, it is forwarded directly to the buyer or to the supplier.
ePartrade really eliminates having to travel, closing down your shop. Now you have a place to showcase globally your racing product and technology.
Land speed record holder George Poteet's Speed Demon rocketed 481 miles per hour at the Bonneville Salt Flats. You don't go that fast without ARP fasteners.
There is no way that we could go the speed that we've gone, the number of times we've gone, with a lesser quality bolt than ARP supplies to us. And we absolutely wouldn't be where we were today if it weren't for ARP.
When failure is not an option, it's ARP-bolts.com.
We're Performance Plus Global Logistics. Our team of dedicated performance industry and logistics experts get valuable cars and components to the track on time in top condition. We provide expedited logistics solutions for the performance industry using direct routes instead of deferred options and communicate all necessary information to the appropriate resources to meet regulations and ensure a smooth transit and secure delivery, both domestically and internationally. And we exceed customer expectations by providing best-in-class service with an efficient and cost-effective system in place. Contact us today to book your next shipment.
You work as hard as your truck, and you have no time for downtime. That's why more truck owners trust Blue Def, America's number one diesel exhaust fluid brand. Each batch is guaranteed pure, so you can avoid costly repairs caused by inferior def. Demand America's best for your truck. Blue Def and Blue Def Platinum. Put trust in your truck.
Where will you find Faurecia racing components? Circle track, drag racing, and any top race shop. In every form of motorsports competition, our valves and valve train components deliver race-proven design and technology. And we've brought that same performance to our street applications as well. We're backed by 5 decades of experience, an extensive range of off-the-shelf components, and our custom valve department has the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Faurecia racing components. Stand with us or race against us.